Welcome to Comically Comics, your one-stop listen to all things comics. We're talking books, movies, TV shows, video games, and more. I must forewarn you, though, we are a spoiler cast, and what that means is we consider all properties, past, future, and present, to be valid, and we will spoil the hell out of them. I'm your host, Michael, along with my two co-hosts, Richard and Jeremy, and with all that being said, let's get started.
All right, it is Sunday, June 21st. Happy Father's Day out there to all the fathers. Hope y'all are doing well. Had a good day. We are reading a strange story, considering it's Father's Day. It's Tom King's Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow, and if you've read it, then you understand why I said that. This is an 8-issue series right here. I guess like it's like a midzy series. There's like mini series, and there's maxi. Maxi's usually about 12 issues, and then a mini is usually like 4 to 6, and so this is like a midi. So. There you go. And the movie's coming out. We wanted to get like an idea because, you know, this the movie's gotten a lot of influence from this series right here. I think Tom King's even part, like he's even done some of the writing and stuff like that for the movie. Did he not?
Yeah, I think so. If not, he's credited, but that's obvious. But yeah, I want to say he did some of the stuff for it.
Yeah, which is what scared me at first because notoriously I am not a Tom King fan. So,
yeah.
But the question is, did this change my mind? So let's see. All right. Jeremy, what is your whelming of Tom King's Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow?
So I will say that my whelming is like a mixture.
Which means you're not ready at all.
No, I am. Because like I am pleasant. Like I will say the story itself, I was pleasantly whelmed. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I was overwhelmed by all the words. By all the little details in there, like every single thing, thought that came into mind, we put on the paper. I'm like, we don't need all this, but okay.
That was one of my worries, because I was like, Tom King's a wordy bastard. Like, he just is.
Yeah.
I don't know what his deal is. I don't know why he likes words, but he's a wordy guy.
And I will say, like, I read all 8 of these this afternoon, and I was like,
oh, fuck off. Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. I was ready to take a nap afterwards.
Between the three of us, Jeremy is the fastest reader here. And
well, it got to be.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Like, he beats me by like a country mile. Like, I'm not fast reader at all.
No.
But, I mean, to be like honest, I do that. So now I remember what we're going to talk about that evening.
That's really sad because sometimes you don't even remember that.
I know.
I'm going to say overall, I'm overly whelmed because not only is this one of my favorite comic books.
Wow.
This is my favorite Supergirl comic book.
Wow.
I love the story a lot. It makes me love Kara way more than Superman. Like, so much cooler to me. Like, this makes me like her way more than Superman. That's the easiest way.
Yeah.
And I do agree, like, Tom King is a very verbose person. And his character, one of his characters in the story, Ruthie, is a very verbose person. So you have a verbose writer and a verbose character. So you're just going to get a shitload of text on the page. But that being said, you know, if you're not trying to crunch it to like get a podcast out, I think, you know, it's a great story.
now, reading it, I don't think I took away anything from my, I needed a nap afterwards, but in my head, like I was thinking of like, really enjoyed the story. I think it's going to be really cool. It's going to be interesting to see how it adapts to the movie. It just, I'm okay if we don't have Ruthie in the movie.
Oh, she's in it.
Oh,
she's dang in it.
Yeah, she's well, then, she's like as long the she's not part like, of it.
Well, I mean, like as long as we don't have her all of her inner dialogue, I'm okay.
Yeah, that's the part We'll get into Michael's whelming.
And yeah, sorry.
That's the part that I'm like, I don't know if we will, but we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. I started reading this like 2 or 3 weeks ago because I'm not a strong reader. And again, I knew it was Tom King and I was like, this going to be a bit. This going to be a minute. So I went ahead and started jump the gun and was reading and everything. Like I think he even said last week that I was already done. So I finished a week ahead of time. Perfect. Great. My whelming, though, of this is complete meh. I don't give a shit about this story. I don't care nothing about it. Tom King has this special thing where he makes me feel stupid after I read every single story. And it's not because his writing is dumb. It's because everybody else oohs and ahs over his work. And I look at it like a little kid on Christmas morning that just doesn't fucking get it. And I'm like, what am I missing? What special magic shit am I missing here? I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. I don't understand one bit.
That's crazy.
I thought
this one would for sure get you. That's crazy to me.
The things that I like. I agree with Supergirl on this because I've read other stories with Supergirl, specifically Geoff Johns' Brainiac.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fantastic story, by the way. Probably my favorite Superman story out of every Superman story that I've ever read. And Kara in that is very, like, shy, very traumatized, all that jazz. And in this story, it's a way different Kara. And I like this version of Kara, I think, better than that version. And honestly, like, I don't necessarily mind Ruthie and, like, her aspect on things either. Like, the way she's talking about things. Because, I don't know, I guess I put, like, a freaking Downton Abbey accent on her or something like that. And I like some of the stuff that she says. And so it's funny.
She absolutely would have a Southern accent.
I took it as British.
I read every single thing I read her in was a Southern accent. Because
that's funny.
The reason being, I was going to wait till we revealed this. I was reading this and I was like, there was a revelation where I was like, oh shit, this story is just True Grit. This is just True Grit. And I was like, I looked it up and sure enough, it was like, yeah, Tom King used True Grit as like inspiration for this story. So I don't know if you've watched the original or the remake with, oh, good Lord. Now I can't think of his name. Oh, gosh. What's his name? Obadiah Stane. Jeff Bridges.
Oh, Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. Jeff Bridges as Rooster Cogburn and Haley Steinfeld as her character. I forget her character. It's Massey something. I can't remember. Anyway, she is very verbose and she uses a lot of like big words. It's like she basically read a thesaurus like her entire life. And Ruthie is just that character.
Yeah.
And in that story, her father is a farmer. He gets murdered and she goes out and finds someone to recruit to avenge her father's death. And they go on this little adventure. And I was just like, oh shit, it's the same story here.
He fucking ripped off a classic then. I haven't watched it. I haven't seen it, but I've heard people talk about it before and it's had a remake. So like, that's crazy.
Yeah. I wouldn't say he ripped it off because there are other things that happen in the story, but the core, like the main setup is a one for one of True Grit.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
So I'll say too that like this one, obviously never read anything Supergirl, but in just seeing, you know, in her little glimpse in the last Superman movie and everything, I got a new appreciation of her in this one and like kind of understanding her past a little bit more now.
Mm.
And just having kind of the whole full circle of her, I guess her character arc in this storyline, as far as like seeming standoffish or whatever, like the quote unquote like drunky type thing. And then but then at the end, understanding that there was actually thought behind this and like what she was trying to get Ruthie to catch on to as well. I was like, oh, okay. That really redeems the whole thing to me.
Yeah.
A good bit.
That's kind of what like a lot of people who haven't read the story and stuff, when they were like, oh, I don't like, you know, party girl Kara. I was like, just please just let it cook. You will see. It's a cool story.
To some, yes.
I got a feeling you're like the only one.
Like, no, yeah. I know it's me. Hi. It's me. I'm the problem. Like, I know. Like I know I'm the one standing around. I'm just like the John Travolta meme and everything. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not just this. Like, it's multiple Tom King stories for me. That everybody's like, oh my gosh, this is the best. You got to read this. It'll change your mind. Blah, 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 blah. And then I read it. And I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah. I haven't read his, is it Vision?
Yeah.
What's it called? Is it just the Vision? Visions? I haven't read that.
Or Vision.
I read all his Batman stuff because I like Batman, and I don't like his Batman. Full stop, I don't like his Batman. I loved this, though. Like, that's why I keep saying, I'm like, I get not liking Tom King, but this one I don't. Because, like, it's just so good.
See, some of his short stories with Batman, I actually really enjoy and really like. But it's like his short stories.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, I guess get the point across really quick, or just like in a couple issues kind of thing. It's when he gets like out there that I'm like, bruh, the point you're trying to make, we should have made that 3 or 4 issues back. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's the stuff for me. So I want to say that the artwork in this, I really, really appreciate the artwork that's in here. I feel like it's different. And in this day and age in modern books, the artwork in this actually had thought behind it and really good craftsmanship. So, like, kudos to the artists. I think they did a fantastic job throughout the entire series. I don't feel like there was ever times where the art slipped up or I was like, oh, this looks like shit or anything like that. Like, it was all just really good, done work.
Yeah. The penciler, inker, and cover artist was, for at least issue one, was Bill Keyes Evely, and then the colorist for both the comic and the cover was Matt Lopez.
That's crazy. That's a lot of work.
Pretty sure they do the entire book, because the art style doesn't really change throughout the entire 8 issues.
I also like this version of Kara really well as well. Like, and I know we've talked about this a little bit, but I feel like this is the Kara that we're going to get in the movie. And she's more than just a drunky joke Kara, like y'all were talking about earlier. She, like, this is not only, like, this is her dealing with, like, her past and stuff like that as well.
Yeah. It deals with her trauma. It kind of gives her, it shines light on her, like, true origin story. And it makes it to where she is, like, lawful good like her cousin, but she grew up very differently than Clark.
Right.
Like, Clark had the almost the benefit of not knowing Krypton.
Right.
Whereas Kara knew Krypton and lost it.
Right.
And that's my favorite issue. It's the hardest one, but that's my favorite issue, which is like second to the last one or the third to the last one. I forget which issue it is, but
yeah,
that's my favorite issue.
So a quick synopsis about the story or whatever, since we're kind of like diving into different pieces and parts and whatnot like that. There is a family that lived out on this planet, and the father of the family was murdered. The daughter is the one who found the father, and she is inciting vengeance against his murderer, which is Krim of the Yellow Hills, which you'll see in the Supergirl movie. The daughter is Ruthie, And as she's going to find somebody to help her with her vengeance against Krim, she goes into a local bar, and by haps, she runs across Supergirl, who was celebrating her 21st birthday, and she's doing it on a red sun planet so that she doesn't, you know, she can actually intake alcohol and get a buzz. So Supergirl wants nothing to do with it at first, and then, of course, Krypto gets hit by a arrow that's poisoned and is led to believe that Krim is the only one that has the antidote for said poison. So now they both have a reason to go and journey off across the galaxy to go and find Krim. And not really once, but twice, honestly, in this story, which is one of those kickers where I'm like, really? Really, we've gotten this far, Tom? And you want to take us all the way back, you asshole? Fine. Fine. I'm already this far. Fine. We do get an origin story of Kara and kind of like why she is the way she is at this point in time, and her view of Krypton that doesn't really get seen a whole lot in comic books from what I can gather. And then, of course, there's the end of it of, you know, finally getting Ruthie to Krim and Supergirl as well, and what they do with him there. And the ending. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, that's it, guys. Bye. So, at the start of this story, we learn that Ruthie and her family are rock farmers. And I wrote that that has got to be the most boring ass job in the entire universe.
It can't be worse than Luke's uncle and aunt.
Moisture farmers? Yeah. Yeah, but I was like, how do you grow a rock? Like, and then we're talking about seeds and stuff, and I was like, rocks don't have seeds. What are we talking about here?
Not here. Maybe it's potatoes. Maybe that's what they call potatoes.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
Yeah.
That was such an easy talk.
Yeah. But yeah, I was just like, that sounds so boring. But I love the setup of like, they're just simple folk that are farmers. She is the daughter, the only daughter of what?
Seven or six?
Yeah, like seven different brothers or something like that. I don't think she's the youngest, but she is like one of the middle children, I want to say. And yeah, she takes it upon herself. Like, she is mad because Krim killed her father. And by all rights, Krim should, like, they should be fine with it because Krim is a quote unquote, Kingsman or what was
King's
it?
Agent.
King's agent. That's what it was. King's agent. And the point of him is to go around and find kind of like non-believers, naysayers of the king, and then he will slay them, and it's so everyone else can see that, like, hey, you can't talk bad about the king kind of thing. But Ruthie knew that her father was a good and just man, so there's no way in hell he would, you know, should be murdered by this. So she knows that something is wrong here, and she goes, like you said, she went to the bar, and she finds actually a different person.
Yeah.
And he ends up being a total dickhead. And he, like, backhands her. And then Kara drunkenly kind of steps in. And there's a really cool, I hope they keep this in the movie. There's a really cool, like, almost like Kara is, like, doing Drunken Master, where she's, like, drunk, but she's, like, dodging his attacks and, like, you know, like stealing the sword from him and like kicking his ass. And I was just like, I really hope they keep this in the movie because it's going to be really cool if they do.
Yeah.
I kind of like, I don't know. I'm trying to piece together like how they would do this and from the trailer and whatnot like that. And I feel like some of this is mixed in with that one bar scene that we see, but I feel like there's two bar scenes in this story. Uh-huh. And I feel like they're just going to mix the two.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know. I just want to see Kara, like, the reason being is, like, depending on that, because, like, Supergirl has a very crazy like her history. So depending on what they pull from from canonical events, like what I'm getting at is Kara has been trained by Wonder Woman, and Wonder Woman is like one of the fiercest Amazonians ever. So even though she doesn't have superpowers, she still can fight. And I like the idea that like she's drunk and she's just like kicking this dude's ass.
I think for me, the funny part is she like slams her bottle in the guy's face. And this is where you get like, this is not our normal Kara, because she's like, oh, fuck. Like, there's so many fucks that are used in this book, but they're never spelled out, which is annoying to me. Because then I feel like sometimes I have to cipher it of like, is this fuck? Is this shit? What is it? What profane word is this?
Yeah, I kind of did the same thing. I at one point was like just inserting like curse words in there. I was like, what is she saying? Matter of fact, there's one that I love. It's after the fight at the bar, and she's woken up the next day and she's hungover, and Ruthie is talking with her, and she vomits and she says shit. Well, it's bleeped, but I'm assuming she says shit. And then Ruth says, shit, you speak of this shit often. Is it your husband? And then she also mentions how she thinks that like the super suit is her underwear, which I think is funny because a lot of people always joke about Superman having underwear on the outside of his pants with the trunks. So I just think that's a funny little jab at that. I love drunken Kara, especially in that whole, the whole bar scene, and then like the hangover the next day is just hilarious to me.
Yeah.
This all leads up to like them coming encounter with Krim of the Yellow Hills.
Uh-huh.
And he looks completely different from what we're getting of like freaking Guardians of the Galaxy Krim on this Supergirl movie. Do y'all think they messed up?
I do.
I think, for one, I'd have to really, now that I know the character, I'd need to go back and actually look at the trailer to see him.
Good God.
He's kind of bald. And he looks like he's got piercings like all over his face.
Yeah, he's got like...
Oh, that guy. Yeah, okay.
He's
okay,
got like bumps or something all over his face. Like he looks like he's got like zits or mosquito bites all over his face. Like,
yeah, I remember that.
I don't like it at all because Krim is also supposed to be the same race as Ruthie.
Yeah.
And that's why he has pointy ears and she has pointy ears. And they don't, from like the posters and all the stuff that we've seen of Ruthie doesn't look anything like her. She kind of like, they got an actress that kind of looks like her, but like Ruthie isn't wearing that like cool looking headpiece that she has. She doesn't have pointy ears. And Krim just looks like your bog standard like space pirate or something. Like it's just like you said, Guardians, he looks like a Ravenger or something.
I
don't like it at all. At least this one, it would have been something different. Like I know he's just like, technically he just looks like a ginger bearded man with elf ears, but still it's like it would have been nice to see more closely to the comic, in my opinion.
This is where we also see Crypto get shot, which leads us to the whole, like, she's like, all right, I'm on board. Let's go do this kind of thing. Handle that.
I've read this before, but when that first happened, I was like, oh, shit. And then, because, she gets shot first, just square in the chest.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit. And then Crypto, you know, is like, growling, and then he charges, and then Crypto gets shot. And you know, there's this really like crazy moment with Kara like screaming Crypto, and I was like, oh shit, is Crypto dead? Did they just fucking kill Crypto in the first issue? And he's poisoned, but he's down but not out yet. And I was just like, oh gosh. And you know, Kara doesn't even blink, you know, an eye. She's got like three arrows in her and she's still like beating the shit out of everybody, and I love it. I love right before that, though, where, because Ruthie has, again, she's just I know you said British, but I just see her as a good old, like, Southern girl. And she hasn't really been out in the galaxy. So the first time she walks up to Kara's spaceship, I love the like face she makes as she's staring up at it. And then she says the line, "My apologies. I am perplexed by the machine from which you have emerged just now while again clothed in your undergarments."
I think it's just how proper she is about certain things. But yeah. The one thing about Ruthie that gets on my damn nerves is how much I have to hear about her blessed father, her beloved father, her blank blobbity blah blah father. And I'm like, we us as the audience, we fucking get it. We get it.
I figured you would like that. You, as being a dad of a daughter, would like that.
I expect my daughter, who's going on vengeance, to have profane things to say.
I don't know if she actually cusses in this, but
no, she does. She does later on. It's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, I know the one, like, but. If you watch True Grit, especially the remake, Haley Steinfeld's character, like, is Ruthie. Like, just straight up uses all these, like, words and is very, very talkative. And anyway, it's really cool. I like it. The other thing that I really like is the titles for each issue are usually, like, said in the issue. So, like, the title of each chapter is said in this one. This one just happens to be at the very end. So the chapter is called Men, Women, and Dogs.
Yeah.
And he says, "And that crim of the yellow hills, killer of men, women, and dogs."
Got you.
And they do that all throughout the story. So I just think it's cool.
Yeah, it is nifty.
I think, do you have anything else for the first issue?
No, that's it.
Okay. I was going to say, before I move on to the second issue, like, or to move on to the second issue, I think this is what drives me nuts about Tom King, is he'll make a simple thing so fucking drawn out that's one of the things that drives me nuts, because the second issue is literally them riding on a space bus and then fighting a space dragon. Like, that's it. That is what happens in this issue. And, I forgot. They make a pit stop and have to knock over somebody else who's trying to get vengeance against Kara. And that's a whole issue? That's a whole issue, Tom King? Really? We need a whole issue for that?
That's one of my favorite issues. I love this.
Oh my gosh.
I love seeing all the different creatures, and like, it feels like the freaking like cantina scene from Star Wars. Like,
oh yeah.
It feels like you should be on this bus, because it's just a space bus, and you should be playing the like, like. I don't know. I loved everything about, like, the different weird creatures. There's that one that is all like, "Hey, are you Supergirl?" And she's like, "Yeah." And he's like, my brothers or somebody was like attacked by Superman. So I swore vengeance against him and all his kin. So I'm going to have to kill you now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's just like, whatever. And just like punches him, knocks him out. And she's like, "All right, come on, let's go."
Yeah. Looks like she just kicked him in the shin and then just tripped him.
Yeah.
Like, that was it.
She, like, elbows him in the gut and then, I think, like, trips him. But I love the whole, like, Ruth is it's like being on a shitty plane. It's like being on Spirit Airlines or something like that. And she's, like, on the window seat, and there's a big gross monster that's like drooling and snotting all over her, and she is like giving him the shit about how, like, look, I am entitled to this amount of space, get the fuck back on your side. And then later,
if only it was that short though, she wrote a whole damn preamble about how she this was her seat that she paid for.
I love it. But I like the part where eventually later in the story, he does it again and Supergirl, I'm assuming like super speed punches him because he just has like a nosebleed randomly throughout that. But I don't know for sure. I thought that was really cool.
Well, I guess he got a haircut while he was there.
Yeah.
Or is it not a different creature?
It could be a different creature.
Because I don't know if that other guy, it may seem like the other guy wasn't going to make it back in time in the amount of Zimits that they were allowed or whatever it was.
So that is a complaint I will have, that sometimes you can get a little too crazy with your space fantasy things and you give names. Like Zimits is not one, but there's a few in here that I'm like, okay, like, let's just call it a normal like Earth name, because now you're starting to get a little crazy and confusing for like the rest of the people. But this was the issue that I remember going, oh, this is True Grit. And
did this happen in True Grit?
They didn't get on a bus, but yeah, it kind of does when she's like, when Kara is drinking at the bar and then they get like summoned for the dragon thing again. No dragon, but it's different. I don't want to spoil it because it's my favorite Western, especially the new one with Jeff Bridges. So I would highly suggest go watch it, but
I have a hard time with the story being so attached to it now.
Yeah, you probably will not like it, but I thought it was quite good.
Maybe I'd like it better as a Western.
The other thing that I wrote for this, especially this issue, is it's honestly every issue, but this particular, when she's fighting the space dragon, the art is so damn good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So she gets, again, she is not superpowered yet. She's still, unfortunately, affected by the red sun because they haven't left this solar system yet. And she just bursts in to the bus when they find out, like, she gets summoned to the front of the bus and the bus driver is like, hey, there's like a space dragon and it's going to kill us all. Do you think you could do something or, and so she bursts in the back of the bus and she's like cursing up a storm and she's like, where the fuck are they at? One of you motherfuckers got it. I know you do. Where is it? And eventually someone gives her this little red capsule and it's red kryptonite. And canonically in the comic books, red kryptonite it's just a gamble. It's just a roll of the dice. You take it, it could take your powers away. It could give you powers. It just does whatever. And in this case, it gives her, I don't know, the Phoenix powers.
Like, I was gonna say the Phoenix force.
Yeah. She becomes Jean Grey for like a hot second. And then just destroys this dragon.
Yeah.
But it is illustrated, like, just so beautiful, in my opinion. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They go all out with the splash pages. It's like,
oh, yeah, they do.
It's like they sit there and they do all the normal panel work and stuff. And then they get to a splash page and like, oh, shit, hold my beer. And they're like just taking an extra step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool.
The other thing that I just want to draw attention to on this issue is I love the part where she is showing Ruth how to wash her hands. That is such a cool, you know, beautiful moment between the two characters.
Yeah.
And then I love the line when she's like, after the tragedy of your planet's destruction, did you seek to avenge the death of your family? And Kara replies, no, I didn't. And Ruthie says, in her response, I heard a whole life of regret. And they're setting up that, like, backstory for her. And I just,
right.
I love it.
Mm. Cool. On issue three, we go to another planet full of a bunch of racist people.
Right, yeah. This because is the one.
The blues hate the purples.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one of the ones that, yeah, it's basically just racism in this story. It's basically the Tulsa race massacre, essentially, but in space. And I'm like, you could have, like, not that I don't think you shouldn't address stuff like this, but I'm just like, you could have probably cut this for the story and made it like one or two issues shorter. But
yeah,
I like,
yeah, you could.
I like some of the stuff in it. Like, I like seeing, like, you know, whatever, like these guys use bullets on Kara and one of them shoots her and they do the Brandon Routh Superman where the bullet hits her in the eye.
Oh, yeah.
And it like crumples. I like seeing stuff like that. They recreate the iconic Christopher Reeve Superman stopping the bullet to save Lois, but with Ruthie and Supergirl. I thought that was neat. Ruthie makes a joke about like peach pie being bad, and I was like, you just haven't had the right peach pie.
Yeah.
Because they're fucking delicious. But yeah, it's a bleak. This one's a bleak one. Yeah. I was like, this is a hard one to read it because it's so sad. And honestly, this issue, the next issue, and the seventh issue are the like hardest ones to read because they're just really sad.
For me, I think it was the artwork in this issue that was like, I don't know. I feel like they took the expressions because these creatures have these giant eyes. And mm-hmm. so they look all happy and whatever else, the ones that are living. And then it's like you ask them about the purples and like why is there a blue section? Why is there a purple section? And like they start getting really defensive and aggravated when you start asking too much.
Yeah.
And their faces just turned like demonic almost. And it's like, oh, shit, that went quick.
Uh-huh.
Like it's just, I don't know, it's creepy and scary almost.
Like, it is creepy. I'll give you that. Yeah. The way their faces change is quite creepy, especially the like mayor. Like he's fucking weird looking. Like he almost has
the mayor
like,
and then like the lady that's at the very front of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Like that one was bad. Not bad as in like the artwork was bad, but like bad as in like that was creepy. That was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do need to note that at this point in time, in this, so it takes three issues and Kara gets her powers back. So like if you haven't noticed already, with her being able to stop the bullets, she's able to fly now. So like she is Supergirl again.
Yeah. She has finally gotten back to a yellow sun solar system, and she's got all of her powers back. The only other thing that just I want to make note on is just kind of important to the story is that the whole reason they're even here and why, you know, they're involved with this like race war between the blues and the purples is that at some point, Krim of the Yellow Hills was imprisoned there because he started a fight or something. I can't remember exactly. And the brigades, I don't know how to say their names, yeah. But they're space pirates. And
right.
Like quite literally, like they literally have like a little like almost pirate looking ship.
Yeah.
like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Bowser's spaceship from Super Mario Brothers.
And they set him free and now he's joined up with the crew and they're all about like committing mass genocide. So they tell the blues, hey, we're going to kill all of y'all. And the blues are like, actually, you can kill all the purples because we're racist and we don't like them. So thanks. And that's what happened there. And it's shitty and it ends with basically not a great ending. Like it ends with Kara being like, yeah, there's not much we can do. They're already dead now. And it's like, right. That shit sucks.
Yeah.
I do like it seems like in most of the issues, at least especially in these first three, like it already kind of, there's a hint in each one of that Kara isn't as like standoffish and whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. But her personality isn't as like rigid and hard as what she initially tries to put out there. And so, with the hand washing and then this one with her going to like actually fly and carry Ruthie, like it's one of those like, okay, so there's at least something in there. That's mm-hmm, a little bit softer.
Yeah. You will come to see that she is like, I mean, that's kind of the point of the story. You'll come to see that she is very warm and welcoming and inviting, but she got some shit. I mean, she went through some shit, so she got some shit she got to work out.
Yeah. So the next issue, this one's kind of confusing for me. I don't remember really reading it. Like, I understand what's going on, but like, it's basically they're just kind of following the path of destruction of Krim. Yeah. To find him and get to him. So they're going from, like, we visit like 4 or 5 planets, it feels like in this one issue, and do a little help here and there, but like get into a fight and whatever else. But it's just like one thing after another. And I don't know. I just kind of got lost, but I knew we were following paths of destruction from Krim to get to him. That was the main purpose of all this. We watch a stoning from one of the brigadesmen. And pirates by the people. And I think this is one of the more interesting parts of it when they're watching this. Like Supergirl, Kara, and Ruthie are in the crowd watching the people stone this pirate. And Ruthie's like, I know he surely deserved his fate, but I had some thought you'd save him. And then, like, you just see like his body just covered in just rubble. And the crowd's cheering around them. And then Kara's straight face, did you? Like, with a question.
Yeah.
So, I do feel like this does separate Kara from Superman. Because I feel like regardless of whatever, Superman's always there to save whoever. But with Kara, Kara's like, there's some justification there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll agree on this one. Like, it did kind of, I don't know. It did jump around a bit because I was like, wait a minute, are we on a different planet now? Or like, what just happened? But yeah, like this one, having that whole moment of where this particular planet that she's on, they like record everything in one of these, is what it sounds like. And so she was able to see what all Krim and the guys did, and coming out, and basically at that moment, like it, really changing her perception of him, I guess, or really hitting home with it. So yeah, it was that part of it. I was like, oh, she's getting to the point of where you really don't want to mess with her.
Yeah. I think it's also trying to influence you, the reader, because this is hammering home. Like, we go to multiple planets where Krim has been, and he has committed horrendous crimes, just murder, mayhem, all sorts of stuff. Some stuff she comes out and she's like, I don't even want to talk about what I just saw, kind of stuff. And I think it's doing that so it kind of puts you, the reader, in the same seat as maybe Ruth or Ruthie. And I also think that whole did you moment with her has kind of double meaning, especially once you know the ending to the story.
Right.
And because at this moment, I think you could take it one way, but then now that you've read it and reread it, you could take it another way, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
The other thing I just want to, because I'm kind of blasting through these just because, like, they are really good stories, but, like, they're not too pivotal to the main overall story. You could honestly skip this one as well. I don't necessarily want to, but like you could probably cut this one down. But I love the scene. It's at the start where they come across I don't know if he's like the dad, but they come across a guy who is burying all the people that Krim has murdered. And Supergirl uses her superpowers to basically prepare all the graves and bury all the people, so that this guy can go see where his daughter is. And it's just a fucking sweet moment. And it's just great. I just fucking love it. It's just, it's one of those, cause it's so bleak and it's so heartbreaking. Like, leading up to that, we see some guy who had like a best friend that Krim murdered in front of him. And then we see that like Krim has now murdered, you know, all these people, including this guy's daughter. And anyway, for her to go out of her way to do all that, I just find it very sweet. It's cool.
Well, all right then. Cool. Well, issue 5, they finally make it to Krim, but he's already prepared for him and has this little glowy ball thing that's called a Mordru Globe.
I'll have you know that is what Mordru the Merciless uses. Thank you very much.
Who is that?
It's a very obscure Superman villain.
Oh,
actually,
okay.
not a Superman villain. A Zatanna villain, I think. It's a magic user.
Ah, okay. That makes sense because it's magic.
Yeah.
So Supergirl can't get away from the globe, and it transports them to basically the land of the lost, Jurassic World, whatever you want to call it for whatever age group you are listening to this. And they have a green sun there, and so Supergirl's pretty much shit out of luck. This is probably my favorite issue of the entire series.
Yeah, I do like this issue.
Yeah.
I think it's fun, and Ruthie is basically, she's the one that's got to take care of Supergirl in this land, and all she's got is whatever wits she has and the sword and these giant freaking dinosaurs that are just trying to all kill him.
One of them looks like Godzilla.
Which one?
It's the one where you just see his feet. Where she?
Oh, at the very beginning.
Yeah, like I specifically wrote Godzilla.
Well, that looks like a long neck. Wait, hold on. There's got to be
like the one that she blocks. That must be that the wrong she one. Stops the foot from crushing them, or
yeah, is that the dinosaur, the owner of the foot in the next page? If that's
I think
the case,
so, yeah.
Okay, well that doesn't look like too. It. But the feet look like Godzilla. If you go back and like see all the Godzillas,
yeah,
he has
yeah.
the same feet.
Yeah. Definitely needs a toe job.
Yeah. a petty.
Yeah, obviously. Yes,
yeah.
He needs to get a mani pedi.
Yeah. But this is the one where Ruthie cusses, and they're talking about how Clark's been on this planet before. But like he only had to be there for 45 minutes. And the Justice League wound up coming in, like saving him. And so Ruthie's like kind of backtracking. She's like, 45 minutes? And Kara's like, that's what he said. Which at first when I was reading it back, I was like, is she making a joke there? And then I like went to the page before it and I was like, oh no, context. Okay. This all makes sense now. But Ruthie comes back with, and we've got 10 hours, Kara. So it's, yeah, 45 minutes. So 10 hours is a little more. And Ruthie goes, fuck. She's like, hey, that's good. You used. That's just right. Proud of you. But don't tell Cal. I taught you that. He'd be judgy. Sometimes I see why people fucking hate him.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yes. That's what I was going to say is the setup there was like where she's telling about the planet and she's like, yeah, he was trapped here. You know, it's got a big ball of kryptonite for a sun and he, you know, it's filled with monsters. So, you know, they were trying to kill him. They're like, God, people fucking hate Cal. And then she says that whole line that you said. And then she's like, ah, I see why people hate him. There's another line where she talks about how, like, he said it was the most painful experience he had ever had. The closest to death he's ever got. And that's saying something after Doomsday. And I was like, that's not reassuring, Kara. Because he died. Technically, he went into a Kryptonian space coma. At least that's what they retconned. It's fucking stupid. Moving on.
I was going to say, he did live from it.
Yeah.
But did you die?
Yeah, he did die, but then they retconned it and said it was a Kryptonian space coma, which, like yeah. I said, is really fucking stupid. I love this issue. I don't want to like spoil everything because I just kind of want people to go read it. But I love at the very end when like it seems like Ruthie and Supergirl are going to die and Kara is able to manage some strength because the kryptonite sun has gone down. And she's like, 45 minutes. 45 minutes. And then she punches this like fucking dinosaur and she's just like, what a bitch. And I was like, I fucking love Kara. I at this point I'm like, I love Kara more than Superman. Like,
oh, that's funny. Issue 6, we get back to Krim and he's got another orb because, you know, he's got to be packing all the time now. But Kara's a little smarter than him this time. And this is where we see Comet. And there's a race. And she goes out to the ends of whatever it is, time, the universe, where the magic stops working. And she can kind of get rid of the orb. But we also get the Kryptonian story for Kara, why she is in the state she is in. I don't know how I feel about this origin, like, not origin, but kind of an origin story of Kara. Like, I don't necessarily know how I feel about it. And it's, I feel like they're trying to retcon a little bit the, like, what happened to Krypton. And so, by making the soil radioactive.
No, that is how kryptonite is made. It's pieces of krypton floating through space that are bombarded with radiation because space is just filled with radiation. And it creates green and red and pink and purple and blue and gold and whatever fucking color you can think of at this point. Indigo, eggshell white with blue specks. But I don't know. I liked it because I was like, oh shit.
So did they say like where the radiation came from?
Space. So the way kryptonite is made is when Krypton blew up, all the chunks of Krypton are floating through space. And as they float through space, they are being bombarded with all sorts of cosmic rays and radiation and floating through nebula clouds and everything else you could think of in space. And they become poisonous to, well, actually depends on. The green kryptonite is poisonous. It is like essentially if you were to expose yourself to radiation rods, like you would die in a matter of maybe minutes or hours, depending on how much radiation it is. So
unless you're Wonder Man.
Yes, or unless, Sandman. Yeah, unless you're Wonder Man or Sandman, in which case it will miraculously cure your cancer. Kids, I got a PSA, don't do that. Don't expose yourself to radiation that will not end well for you. And anyway, so like, I like the idea of using like how kryptonite is made and the chunk of krypton that her father, you know, used to save them. What was their salvation is now like their tomb.
Yeah. So from what I understand, though, from what I remember, and that's if I remember it right, on the Geoff Johns Brainiac,
mm-hmm.
the people of Argo City are in the bottled city of Kandor.
They are. I don't know anymore, to be honest with you. But yeah,
at right.
this point... When did Geoff Johns come out? Was it before or after this?
It was well before this.
It was well before this? Okay, because I'm know.
Pretty
I
positive.
I didn't read it. Then yeah, they are retconning it, but I don't know. I like this one better because it makes it cooler in the sense of like it makes her story more heartbreaking and it gives her more character because up until that point, she really didn't have a character other than she was just like female Superman. I mean, she did, but like she really didn't.
Not
and,
like this.
And she had like really stupid, weird backstories, especially after Infinite Crisis or Crisis on Infinite Earths. I mean, and she died, and then she was like a robot lady that had sex with Lex Luthor, and it was just all this fucking stupid shit. So I don't know. I think this is a really cool like origin story. And I don't know. It's very heartbreaking because like they talk about how she went to school. She came home from school and there was like, you know, Krypton's beginning to break up and there's earthquakes and stuff. And she, you know, was walking by what essentially is like the gas station worker. And he's like been crushed by debris. And then she keeps walking and she sees someone that she knew and he's been like cut in half and he's like trying to like put his guts back in. And then it goes, she was 14 years old when all this happened. And then you're like, oh,
yeah,
fuck. You let me in on something that I did not know about Tom King, and is that he worked for the CIA, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of wonder, you know, the CIA has done and seen some really fucked up shit. I kind of wonder if this is some stuff that maybe Tom King has seen in real life and put into his story of like a little girl in a different country, like a war-torn country, and, you know, saw some really fucked up shit like this.
Yeah.
Maybe so. I could definitely see that. I think the movie's going to, because we know that Man of Tomorrow is coming out next year. We know Brainiac's going to be a part of that. And then it looks like in Kara's flashback in Argo City that it looks like she's at a funeral. So I'm kind of wondering if that is her mom that she's burying, because in the story, her mother does die from the radiation. And so, like, I kind of wonder if they're going to try and, like, mix the two, if that makes sense, to kind of, like, fit Brainiac in there, but also, like, have this impact of her mom to Kara and all that other jazz.
Yeah, they may do something. I'm very curious to see how they're going to adapt this. I'm really hoping that they knock it out of the park, because I really like the story a lot. To also put it in perspective, they talk about, like, there were 18,000 people on Argo and 13,000 people died. So that leaves only 5,000 people left in Argo. And they try to build, because the kryptonite is poisoning them, they try to build like a big lead shield over, which I got to be honest with you, I'm like, I know lead is the only thing that blocks kryptonite, but I'm like, that's a dumb plan. Like, Zor-El is her father's name, not Jor-El, but Zor-El. And I'm like, clearly Jor-El got the brains of the family, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I was like, oh, let's just put a big like lead shield over it. I know there's not much that they could do because it's just a big hunk of Earth floating around, like they don't have enough resources and everything, but still, I was just like, oof, this is
weren't they on borrowed time regardless?
Yeah, they were, because they would eventually run out of air and food and water, because, like, right, again, there's no planet anymore. You're just on a big chunk of rock.
Yeah.
The other thing that I love in this, I love the, as she's fleeing from the Mordru globe or whatever it's called, she says the line of, like, Krypton didn't die in a day, the gods are not that kind. They use that for the trailer.
Yeah,
it's a cool line. I like it. I'm glad to see that they kept it. I also like when she outruns the Mordrune globe, it literally, like, not only did she run to the end of the universe, but, like, there's no color anymore. It's like the inker ran out of ink or something. It was just, or not inker, the colorist ran out of color. I just thought that was really cool.
Do you want me to ruin that for you?
Sure, yeah.
So when I saw that and the premise of, like, going to the end of the earth and to get away from the magic and stuff, it made me think of Thor Love and Thunder.
That doesn't ruin it. It doesn't ruin it for me, but it I can see that. It does. Well, it kind of bugged me just because I know Comet, which we'll get into Comet when we'll get to that moment in the next issue, last issue. I forget which one it is. But anyway.
Yeah, two more issues.
I understand he's a magic horse, essentially. But I was like, shouldn't she run into, like, the, like, I don't know, the Infinity Wall or what? Like, I that's usually what's at the end of the universe, because it's what Darkseid is looking for. And I don't know. I was just like, how are they able to go out past the universe?
Oh, I didn't realize there was a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah, it's usually this big stone wall with, like, a bunch of weird Jack Kirby looking, like, heads and creatures and stuff.
Nice.
But yeah, that's it for that one.
Cool. Sorry, I'm having to cycle all the way to the end of the fucking book because, you know, we can't have the chapter at the beginning because of Tom fucking King. So, chapter 7.
Hang on, I'm sorry. There was one last thing I wanted to talk about, because I was like, this will absolutely be in the movie. It's when they catch up with Krim and he shoots the arrow and she, you know, dodges it or whatever. And then she flies up behind him and she's like, "Hello, I'm Supergirl and you're Krim of the Yellow Hills. You shot my fucking dog." And I was like, that will absolutely be in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So issue 7, we've got Krim all tied up and Supergirl is trying to take care of the brigade because they're coming after to get Krim, and kind of leaves Ruthie with Krim outside of like Comet being there to kind of like get in between the two. So, however, Supergirl gets in trouble and Comet leaves to go and get to go help Supergirl, and that leaves Ruthie to make choices. But we also kind of get like a little bit more story, more of Krim's side of why he killed her father as well.
Yep. His side of the story is just like, your father was better than me and I fucking killed him for it.
It's like, it's just like,
oh, so Krim is just a bitch. Yeah. Like, he's just a bitch. I love this one. I could see, I thought for sure this would get on y'all's nerves where it was like Ruthie and then back up to Supergirl fighting the space pirates and it's all narrated by Ruthie and then it's back down to Ruthie and then it goes back up to Kara. Like, it kind of just goes back and forth.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have an issue with it, but I love all the pages with Kara and Ruthie narrating. I love all those pages. I love the artwork. I love the narration. I love the whole, like, she can jump a tall building in a single bound. She's more stronger than a locomotive. She's faster than a speeding bullet. And then later on in the fight, it's like, but you can find weapons that are, you know, stronger than a locomotive and faster than a speeding bullet and stuff like that. And it looks like she's, you know, losing the fight at that point. I just thought,
yeah,
I love the narration during all that.
Yeah, I do too. And I like the intro of, well, I mean, I know we had him in the last issue with Comet, but like the like communication connection between Comet and Supergirl, and then even like with Ruthie being able to communicate with him, I was like, oh, this is interesting. And obviously I didn't know the real reason until next issue, but yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Unless you know the origin of Comet, which most people don't. My, like, honestly, when I first read this, I didn't know dick all about Comet. So when, what happens, I don't want to get to that yet, but what happens to Comet, I was just like, what?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I like I love when they have Krim gagged and they ungag him, and I forget what he says, but he says a bunch of just like inflammatory stuff about Ruth's dad or whatever, and I was just like, fucking put the gag back on. And then like later she's like, you know what, I'm just gonna put the gag, like, she's like, I'm just gonna seal your lips, I think is what she says, and she's like, I'm just gonna put the gag back on you. I was like, see, I told you. You should just shut his mouth. But yeah, and then it's all about the fight between Kara and the space pirates, and it seems like she's gonna lose, and then it ends on a big old cliffhanger where she's all tied up, and they just so happen to have a kryptonite gun, and Comet is now going to have to go rescue her. Which sucks because Comet is there because he's trying to make sure that Ruth does not kill Krim because they need the antidote for the poison to save Krypto.
Right.
And right. When Comet flies off, she's like, you know, well, now that he's gone, I guess I better get to killing you, Krim. And I'm like, girl, be so for real right now.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Issue 8?
Yes, absolutely. Issue 8.
The final issue in this mini series. We get to see the fight between Krim and Ruthie. We get to see how Kara comes out of it. What happens to Comet? And then the final, what happens to Ruthie and Kara many, many years later. So.
Yeah, so Kara's been captured. She's got a kryptonite gun pointed at her. Ruthie is got her father, or not her father's blade, the blade that Krim left in her father at his throat, and it's building tension, and Comet, in the very last second, jumps in front of the shot, the kryptonite shot, and takes it, and is killed, and turns into a centaur. And then later, turns into a man. And I wrote here, no, Jeremy, your eyes do not deceive you. Comet did turn into a centaur and then into a man. And this is the one I wrote. I hope this is the one thing that they are omitting from the movie. I worry they may replace him with either Crypto, or I'm honestly thinking Lobo, because if they use Lobo in this, you can kill him. And then he'll just come right back because Lobo can't die. So it's a have your cake and eat it too kind of moment.
I did find it interesting that Tom King originally wanted to use Lobo in the story.
Yeah.
I can't remember if you told me that or if I heard it from somewhere else, but that was something that I'd heard and read.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I kind of wonder, like, what, yeah, of course DC told him, well, not of course, but like DC obviously told him no. And so I'm like, where would Lobo have been in this story? Like, there's nothing really other than the bounty hunter stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not bounty hunter, but like people looking to like help take vengeance against her or whatever. Yeah. Or, you know, Ruthie maybe finding Lobo first and then Supergirl being like, nah, you don't want him kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like the movie doesn't even look like it's going that route. And it's just like, where would Lobo have been in this story?
I would assume he would be part of the brigand, the space pirates. Because Lobo is kind of an anti-hero, I do think that he is not the villain of the story, of the movie.
Right.
I think he will eventually change sides and be the hero or join Supergirl. So that's why I think he may be the one that takes the shot to save Kara. And like, we think he's dead. And then like they put him on the beach and then all of a sudden he like comes back to life and whatever, jumps on his space hog and flips them the bird and drives off. Like, I really do think they're going to do something like that because that makes the most sense.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. There's a scene in the trailer that kind of has me confused because, which is one of the reasons why I was kind of disappointed I'm not going to take my youngest to go see it. But it's Lobo, and he's driving off a spaceship, which I assume is supposed to be like the brigade's pirate ship, the equivalent of that or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, see you later, tits. And he's talking to Supergirl, and I'm like, that is Lobo, yes. Like, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm not explaining that to her, so I guess she's not seeing it.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that they'll do that with him. He could have also been, like you said, at the start when Ruth is at the bar looking for somebody. Yeah. I could see Lobo being that asshole that was like, hey, you know, yeah, I'll do this for you. And let me teach you a lesson. And then he like smacks her or something. I could see Lobo being that character. And then like Supergirl fights him or something. But yeah, it seems like for the movie, Lobo is going to be like, he'll show up and then he will be in the movie like until the end, basically. I don't think he's going to be just in there for one scene and then out the next.
Right, right. He looks like he's in several scenes throughout the thing, so.
But I love when Krim and Ruthie are fighting. You can see in the background, like, all hell is breaking loose in space. Like, when Comet gets killed, like, when Comet takes the bullet, and then Kara goes essentially Super Saiyan, and you see there's a moment where Ruthie is like kicking Krim in the face. You see up in the sky a big giant red ball.
Yeah.
Which is not the sun. That is Kara. That is Kara fucking shit up. And I just think that's really cool.
It is really cool. I didn't realize that that's what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, me either.
I love Prim and Ruthie fighting and her like narrating the whole thing about like how like he's a better fighter than me and yada, yada, yada. And then she talks, where was it? It was like, for instance, doesn't matter his current girth. You kick a man enough in the face, he starts to lose a sense of up and down of things. And only reality he really understands is he don't want to be kicked in the face no more. That shit was
I fun. Like when she cut off his fingers.
Yeah, yes. I do too.
That's
I like there was a I forget what there's some like short Instagram short or YouTube short or TikTok where it's like a country sounding girl and she's like, you act like you ain't been hit in the mouth before or something. So like that's why I just get nothing but like southern vibes from Ruthie the entire time.
I got you.
And then I like I'm kind of just skipping. I love the ending. The ending is probably the most controversial because some people like the ending, some people don't.
Really?
And I don't mean the ending where like Prim is spared, but the like we jump millions of years. I don't know, maybe not millions of years, but like several years into the future, and we see an older Kara and an older Ruthie talking about all that stuff. And then we see kind of what happens with Krim. Some people like it, some people don't. I really love it. It's very Superman-y. It's very Supergirl-y. I love it. It's great.
Yeah, I thought
but
it was.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Well, no, I was I thought it was. I actually kind of enjoyed the ending. It's like sparing him and letting him. Like them telling you that he went through the whole process and then finally coming around.
Yes. Yeah. Like rehabilitation. That's what the Phantom Zone was really intended for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he gets, so for our listener, spoilers, Ruth does not kill him. Supergirl does not kill him. I like that what we're hearing from the narration is actually Ruthie's book that she wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that in the book, Supergirl kills Krim. But in real life, she spared him. Ruthie spared him because that's the whole point that Supergirl was trying to teach Ruthie all this time.
Right.
And what I was saying about the did you kind of thing is that was her teaching, you know, like that was a moment to be learned for Ruthie. Like the whole like stoning that guy. And she was like, I thought you were going to save him. And she's like, did you? And it was kind of like Supergirl's like, okay, she's starting to learn that you sometimes need to, you know, sometimes there is vengeance, but sometimes there's also mercy. Kind of like the Daredevil stuff. And I love the whole like recounting some of these moments with Supergirl, you know, holding Ruthie, washing her hands, burying the people, her rescuing, even when she barely had any strength left, she was able to muster up enough strength to save both of them. The stuff with Comet, everything. Like, it was just a really cool moment. And then we see that they spare him, and then it jumps to, like I said, X amount of years in the future. I don't know. I don't know what the life cycle for Ruthie's race is. Supergirl looks like she's barely aged today, which is in keeping with super people like Kryptonians. They age very, very slowly. And she's got a new fit. I don't really like the fit. It's whatever. I don't like suited Supergirl. Like it's never been a fan of it, but that's just me.
Oh.
And they are, you know, recounting, they're talking about a bunch of stuff. And then it's revealed that Krim was put in the Phantom Zone. They release him. And he truly has, like Jeremy said, he has spent eons thinking about these horrible things that he's done to not just Ruthie, but everybody else. And he truly wants to be forgiven and all this stuff. So as he comes out, he is just a withered old man. And he begs, you know, Supergirl for releasing him and then begs Ruthie for forgiveness. And then Ruthie just socks him with her cane.
Yeah, which I thought that was pretty funny. I was like, oh, okay, well. Guess he's no longer here.
I don't think he's dead. I think it was I took it as like a, you are forgiven, but I can never forget what you've done. And so she's like,
he's dead.
Yeah.
And I mean, in all honesty, he looks like he's 200 years old. If you were to sock a 200-year-old man with a cane, it would kill him.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But I'm going to assume that he is not dead because, you know, it's Supergirl.
Oh, no. I think he's dead.
Okay.
I that's where I was like, yeah. What? That's why I look at it. I'm like, what the fuck am I missing? Like, what did we do? Why did we do all this? What is this all about? To answer your years question, though, I think 300 uh-huh. years has lapsed.
Okay. I couldn't remember.
And the reason that I say that is because of the recanting that Supergirl does about it. And she says, so the Phantom Zone warden said the first 100 years or so, he was very abrasive, screaming on about his trial and what was fair. But the second 100, he seemed to calm, evaluate. He got to know all his victims, like he really broke and with regret. The last 100 years, he's been ideal, working hard at making up for what he'd done, like he had a different heart, like he was a different man and a better man.
Yeah. Which is nice. It's very, again, it's very keeping with both Superman and Supergirl of like maybe not wanting to kill and try to actually rehabilitate the villain.
Right.
And anyway, I like it. It's a cool story, especially for like lawful good type characters. I just think it's neat. And it, again, it could be ambiguous. It could be just like the Killing Joke ambiguous where it's like, did Batman kill him? Did he not? I've always took it as he did not kill him. A lot of people say that he did kill him, and I'm not saying him because I do want us to read that eventually, and I don't want to spoil it for Jeremy. but I take this as she just knocked him out kind of thing. Of like, yeah, like you're forgiven, but you did kill my father, so I'm going to punch you in the face just this once. Like I'm owed that at least.
I mean, she kicked him in the face several times.
Yeah. But, you know, one more for good measure.
right. What did you think? I thought you were saying you thought he was dead, didn't you, Jeremy?
Yeah, that's the way I took it. I was like,
I got you.
Basically, it seemed like she was just making sure that he learned his lesson and got it straight and everything. And she's like, all right, good. See ya.
Congratulations.
That is... That is very keeping with Ruth's character, so I could see it that way as well.
I also want to throw out there as well that the reason that the story was wrote the way it was on Ruthie's book is because they're trying to keep the pirates from like continuously coming after Ruthie. Mm-hmm. So they made it to where like Supergirl was the bad guy and they're not going to come after Supergirl, especially if she already fucked everything up. Mm-hmm. So they just kind of squashed it all.
Yeah. Which, between that and Cal, it's like the space pirates are like, nah, we're good.
Nope. Left that one behind. Wasn't working out. Mm-hmm. Had to let him go.
Yeah, that Krim guy was an asshole anyway. Am I right, guys? Like, I mean, what kind of name is Krim of the Yellow Hills?
Oh, and by the way, the whole... Crypto was poison. That was all bullshit.
Yeah, no, like that. Yeah. I
complete bullshit.
I'm dying to get my wife to read this before we see the movie. I don't know if she's going to be able to, but I'm dying for her to read this story. Not just because of the dog stuff, but I just think it's a really cool story. And anyway, I'm curious to know what she's going to think about that twist of like it's all been a lie, because I know she's going to be like, as soon as like Crypto is shot, she is going to be like, fuck this motherfucker, like this motherfucker got to go. And I'm very curious to see like the twist of like, no, actually, I lied. Crypto's fine.
Yeah.
And I did that because I needed you to come with me because I was drunk. I don't know who Krim of the Yellow Hills is. And I also wanted you to learn a lesson that I was never afforded as a child. So I think that's I think it's a cool story.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I can agree. Cool story, but it is a story.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I feel like we covered a good bit of it.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we want to throw out there as far as like what we'd like to see in the movie that we're going to, I guess, see next weekend?
I want to see the space bus and the space dragon fight using the reds, but I doubt I know we'll probably see the space bus because they've been kind of advertising that with like promos and stuff, but I don't know if we'll see the space dragon and her taking the red kryptonite and turning into the Phoenix and stuff like that. I think that would be a really cool thing to see, but I don't think we'll see that. We're probably just going to get mostly like them fighting like nebulous looking like space pirate looking guys.
Yeah. I think that Crypto's actually going to get shot and need a cure. I think that the space bus is going to take us to the bar, which is where we're going to find Lobo, and then he's going to kind of join the mission from there to go find Krim of the Yellow Hills. I don't think we're going to get the comet in here.
Thank God.
And I think a lot of the stuff that we like, we're talking, you especially were talking about earlier, like, oh, we could kind of do without this, we could shorten this up, blah, blah, blah. I think we're going to do away with a good bit of that. I do think we're going to get the story of Kara and Krypton. I do think it's going to be a mashup. I think Brainiac's going to be involved in it a little bit, just to kind of throw him in there. But also, I do think Kara's mother's going to, I think that's the funeral that we're doing is Kara's mother.
Yeah, I think we're going to get the same death for Kara's mother, and then I think we're going to get the almost the same scene with her father, like, sending her off in the pod.
Mm. Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it, but, like, having Lobo be the guy that, like, joins up with them to go find Krim is weird, but I could see that, like, since he's a bounty hunter.
Mm. Right.
I assumed that it was Krim who would hire Lobo to be like, I need you to get this fucking Supergirl off my back.
Mm.
Like, she is going to kick my fucking ass and I need someone to beat her. So, like, I figured it would be, if anything, it'd be like the, you know, the most renowned bounty hunter in the galaxy.
I guess the only reason I go with that is because, like, we see a scene in one of the trailers where, like, they kind of meet up with Lobo and they're like talking to him and stuff and there's no fighting, and then we see them fighting at the bar with him.
Yeah.
So they look like they're on the same side.
Yeah.
I also don't think we're going to get a scene where she's at the Green Sun or whatever. I don't think we're going to get the Mordru globe.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely not.
But I do think we're going to get to either a planet where the sun like is green or something, because there's a, at one point she looks like she's poisoned and looks like she's kind of like getting weak or whatever. And so I do think he may go to a planet where like it will definitely hurt her in the sunlight.
Yeah. That's what he should have done, is just chilled out on planets with like red suns the entire time. Like, that way she can't use her powers.
Well, he still couldn't stop her when he was there, when she was there getting drunk.
That's
even
true.
With the arrows That's and all true. That other jazz.
Yeah, you're right. But I figured with the space pirates he hooked up, it's just be like, hey, let's chill on this red sun planet for like a couple of, you know, eons. I'm glad, like, the comet stuff, I get that it's comics and we're just going back to, like her history, but the comet stuff I didn't even get into, but essentially Cersei and Comet, when he was a centaur man, were in love. She gave him the ability to where he, I think he could turn into a man for, like, one day or something. He eventually gets betrayed by her or something, turned into a horse. I think it's like a Pegasus. And then he eventually like falls in love with Kara, and he's like a love interest of Kara for a little while. And yeah, it's fucking weird and I hate it. So I'm like, please keep the shit out of the movie.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's good James Gunn's not directing it or writing it.
Right?
Because if it was, there's a chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
James likes some weird shit.
He does. I like it. I like him for that, though. We need more weird shit.
I guess. Cool. Well, Do y'all recommend the story?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I think it's, like I said before, I think it's a really interesting story. It shows her full kind of all her characteristics and everything, and just her personalities a little bit more. And so gives a little bit more depth to her. And so, yeah, I enjoyed it.
Nice. Richard?
No, it wasn't.
I think that's bullshit.
Yeah. No, it was a big, big old goose egg, big old stinker from me. No, I absolutely would recommend this. I think everybody should read it before they go see the movie, but the movie is coming out very shortly, so that probably won't happen by the time this episode gets out. So
that is true. I say for the movie, if you want to know more about like the car I think we're going to see on the screen, this give you a lot more of what we're going to get probably. But if you just want to read a story, for me, that's a big no. If you don't like Tom King stuff, don't. It's not going to change your life. It's not going to do anything, I don't think. I could be wrong, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
I'm good.
Nope. That's it for me.
Cool. Next week, review of the Supergirl movie. So y'all come back for that. And until then, Jeremy, where can they find you at?
They can find me on Twitch under the handle NightFuryGTO, and you can find me here.
Awesome. And Richard?
If you want to contact me directly, I have an X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram, a Blue Skies, and a Threads. My handle is Night Curry, Night like day and night, and Curry with a K. If you want to contact us directly, we have a Gmail. Our Gmail is comicallycomicspodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to check us out on YouTube, possibly TikTok, we'll see, and Instagram, you can check us out under the name Comically Comics Podcast. And if you want to check us out on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, you can check us out under the name Comically Comics with an X.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram, eBay, and Shortbox22_comics. You can also find me on YouTube at 22 Comics. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed as much as we did making it. Well, all being said, say goodbye, Jeremy.
Bye, Jeremy.
Goodbye, Jeremy. Goodbye.